Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, said to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." In remembrance. But the disciples had a selective memory. The time of trial was coming, and in temptation, they looked to themselves, to their own resolve and their own fortitude. They were so self-involved that they forgot to remember everything that the Lord said to them that night. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Christ's words were offensive to the disciples. "All of you will stumble. You will deny me. Temptation is coming. Hear the voice of ego, which is even louder than the voice of God. I will not stumble. I will not deny. I will not fall." You see how ambition shuts out the words of Christ. The soldiers and the betrayer came. The sheep were scattered. The rooster crowed. Peter wept. This is the foolish path we all choose to walk. We disregard the incredible promises of grace and choose to wallow in the miseries of sin. What were the disciples thinking? Had they forgotten the words of the prophet Zechariah, how God himself promised to protect the scattered sheep in the day of the refining trial? "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left. I will bring the 1/3 through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, 'This is my people,' and each one will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" And if that were not enough, how could Peter forget the greater prophecy in the aftermath of his denial? "My Lord, the one who predicted my failure, has also promised that he would meet me in Galilee after his resurrection." What an amazing promise to sustain even those who deny, who run, who hide. The powers of sin and the world continue to strike at the shepherd. Trial and temptation will come to the Christian from outside or from within. Our flesh lulls us into forgetful slumber. This temptation is no little thing. even as it came to the apostles, it has come to all the saints, and it will come to us. Around the year 1420, Thomas a Kempis, the poet who sings through us and to us in our hymn this morning, wrote a book called The Imitation of Christ. This little devotional book contains some worthy advice to us, especially when we are tempted to stand alone in our own might. Thomas writes, "So long as we live in this world, we cannot escape suffering and temptation. Everyone, therefore, must guard against temptation and must watch in prayer, lest the devil, who never sleeps but goes about seeking whom he may devour, find occasion to deceive him. No one is so perfect or so holy but he is sometimes tempted. Man cannot be altogether free from temptation. Yet temptations, though troublesome and severe, are often useful to a man, for in them he is humbled, purified, and instructed. The saints all passed through many temptations and trials to profit by them. There is no state so holy, no place so secret, that temptations and trials will not come. Man is never safe from them as long as he lives, for they come from within. Many people try to escape temptations only to fall more deeply. We cannot conquer simply by fleeing, but by patience and true humility, we become stronger than all our enemies. Little by little, in patience and long suffering, you will overcome them, by the help of God rather than by your own rash ways. Learn to take counsel when tempted, and do not be harsh with others who are tempted, but console them as you yourself would wish to be consoled. The beginning of all temptation lies in a wavering mind and little trust in God. For as a rudderless ship is driven hither and yon by waves, so a careless man is tempted in many, many ways. Fire tempers iron, and temptation steals the just. Often we do not know what we can stand, but temptation shows us what we are. We should not despair, therefore, when we are tempted, but pray to God the more fervently that he may see fit to help us. For according to the word of Paul, he will make issue with temptation that we may be able to bear it. Let us humble our souls under the hand of God in every trial and temptation, for he will save and exalt the humble in spirit. Some, guarded against great temptations, are frequently overcome by small ones. In order that, humbled by their weakness in small trials, they may not trust in their own strength in the great ones. About a century later, Martin Luther wrote concerning the trials of the sheep when the shepherd is struck. Unless we were divinely kept, we could not persevere. At first, when the gospel is revealed to the world listens with great applause. There is hardly a handful that does not wonder at it. But when the sword has been raised and has struck the shepherd, then the two parts withdraw. Because their own reason and the wisdom of the flesh have influenced them, they are unable to bear that offense of the cross. And who would endure it except one who has been divinely encouraged by the Holy Spirit? After all, to believe in life in the midst of death, to believe in glory in the midst of sin, to believe in the peace and favor of God in the midst of persecution, this is something beyond every capability of reason. It is truly a miracle in our eyes. In the hour of trial and temptation, what will we do? What will we remember? Here is where the great "for us" of our creed must resonate in our hearts. When temptation begins, remember what God has done for us in Christ. When we fall and when we acknowledge our shame, even in the action of our sin, then and especially then, remember that God is not against us, but for us, a ready helper in every need. And when, by God's grace, we have turned from our sin and temptation, let us not look to our victory as a victory of personal resolve, but rather as a victory that has been won for us by the mighty warrior of God, whose strength is revealed in the weakness of the cross.